Thank you, God, for your word today. Make it alive. Let us be on that way, listening to you, Lord, as these disciples were, and teach us about things that are important, about real life. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this world, we like the word gain. We like the word gain much more than loss. You know, when we hear gain, we think of happy time, better off, profitable, successful. Gain seems good when you make a gain or you gain something. Loss seems to be a sad time. Worse off, not successful. And we like the word gain more than loss, except when it comes to the area of weight. When it comes to the area of weight, we love loss rather than gain. To lose, you know, to lose weight rather than gain weight, and losing weight is our gain. So at times, losing is gaining. And that's what Jesus is talking about today. Loss and gain. In our text today, Jesus is teaching his disciples on loss and gain in the spiritual realm. He's just shared, the last couple weeks we've been studying about entering into the kingdom of God, entering into heaven. Matthew 10, verse 24, Mark 10, verse 24. The disciples astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You know, that he was teaching them that it's impossible, you know, to trust in riches and gain heaven, because that's your God. And the disciples had a problem because the Jews, and we've gone over this before, they associated riches with blessings from God. Because God had told them in the Old Testament, you know, if you obey me, my commandments, and do this and that, I will bless you in the land, I'll bless you in the country, I'll bless your flocks and everything. But if you don't obey my commands, I will curse you and you'll lose and you'll have these other things happen to you. So their idea was, well, if we're really blessed and have a lot, God loves us. And we're in the grace of God, favor from God. So the disciples were raised this way. So they were wondering about, well, if a rich man can't go to heaven, then who can? I thought that was a sign of God's blessing. And Jesus answered in Mark 10, verse 26, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." He says, hey, sounds impossible to you, but it's God has a way of working it out, and we know that way is now grace. Now, before we go on further, I want you to know this. Being wealthy or well off or healthy has nothing to do with how good of a Christian you are. You know, there are churches who preach a prosperity doctrine. And, you know, they say you've got to be doing well. You've got to claim it. Being prosperous here has nothing to do with the blessings of God. We are blessed, and he does bless us with things, but that is not the way a man enters heaven. That's not how you tell God is blessing you. You remember it says Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. So I would say he wasn't very blessed if I was going by the old rule. But he was sent by God. The Son was sent by God. You see, the strongest Christians that I have run into in my life are those who have gone through struggles, physically, financially, emotionally, all kinds of things happening in their life, difficult times, even loss of all things. They seem to be the closest to the Lord because they depend on God. It draws you to God. They love the Lord and they rely on God. They've learned to rely on God. Riches can bring problems for us. We can stray from God. Look at Job. He was probably the most well off in the area. And he lost it all. He lost it all. And he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His faith wasn't in the riches or his possessions. His faith was in the Lord. He knew that God gives and God takes away. I know this, you take nothing with you when you die. You never see a U-Haul following a hearse. You leave it all here. You know, a lot of people, after they go through a loss in the family, a lot of people be wondering, well, how much did they leave? And the answer is, everything. Everything they left. You can't take it with you. So whenever we have much, it seems we don't rely as much on the Lord. After Jesus spoke to them, it seems, teaching this, it seems Peter started to think about entering the kingdom of God. It got him thinking. He's probably thinking, well, if riches aren't the way in, and that's how we tell if a person's blessed, well, it must be forsaking all and following Jesus. Because he shared that. You look at verse 21. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, go, one thing you lack to the rich man, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. He says, well, that must be it. That must be the way to get in. Following him. So Peter, as he always does, he pipes up first. Peter's kind of point out to Jesus in verse 28. Peter began to say to Jesus, to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Hey, great, we've left everything and followed you. We must be really good guys. Because we left all and we're following you. Now, two things could have been going on here. Peter probably felt that he left all and was following Jesus, and he was comforting himself. Oh, then I'm okay. You know, we like to comfort ourselves. And I'm going to actually point it out to Jesus, just so he knows how great we are. Hey, Jesus, we have left all and we're following you. And he probably was starting to think, maybe Jesus isn't going to set up his kingdom here now. And see, the Jews were hoping that the Messiah was going to come, overthrow the Romans, get out of that Roman oppression, the Messiah would set up his rule, and they would be reigning with him. Well, that's the second time, second coming, first coming to pay for sin. So he's probably thinking, wow, because he said he's going to be handed over and killed. He's probably thinking, wow. Well, if he's not going to set up his kingdom now, then did I forsake all and follow him for nothing? Hey, am I doing this for nothing? What's my reward for doing this? Did I forsake all and follow Jesus for nothing? In other words, was it worth it? Is it worth it? What's the benefit? What's the gain in following Jesus? And people wonder that today. Did you ever wonder that? Hey, what's the benefit of following Jesus? That's why many people fall away. They try Jesus and they see it, things didn't work out the way they wanted, and so they don't follow Jesus anymore. And a lot of people wonder, is it worth it? What's the gain in following Jesus if there's no immediate reward? My life seems to be in turmoil. All kinds of trouble. Family trouble, physical trouble, financial trouble, this or that. In everybody's life, there's trouble. A lot of people start to wonder, is it worth it? Was I better off before I was a Christian? I didn't have all this flack coming at me. I didn't have all these problems. I didn't have these relationship problems. Maybe you've been persecuted for being a Christian. At home, workplace, by family members. Maybe you're experiencing loneliness and the loss of things. in this world. And it hurts. Those things hurt, and everybody goes through these things. Maybe you've been mocked or made fun of, called names or narrow-minded. And maybe you don't feel, maybe feel like you don't fit in anywhere. You're out of place. Well, if you don't fit into the world, praise the Lord. Because this is not your home. You know, when you go to a stranger's home, you don't feel at home. Or even on vacations at times, you can't wait to get home and get in your bed. You say, ah, I'm home. And you don't feel quite right somewhere else. Well, that's the way it should be with us in the world. We're here, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to remember that. And Jesus is preparing a place for us that's going to be beautiful. And we need to remember that. And maybe you just don't fit in and you're lonely, and due to your faith, things just are causing you a lot of grief and trouble. And maybe it all seems lost in your life. Like, wow, I'm missing out on life. A lot of people feel they missed out on life and they get depressed and discouraged, even suicidal. What's the sense of living? Well, there's a lot of sense in living because Jesus saved you and loved you and has a plan for your life, and he's going to use you while you're here, and you have a great reward in heaven. You see, if we keep our eyes on this life and fitting into this world, we're going to be unhappy because we're not going to fit in. And people are not going to like us. And we're all such beautiful, nice people. Why would anybody not like us? Because we talk about Jesus. You can talk about everything else with people and get along. The minute you mention your faith or Jesus, guess what happens to the conversation? You've experienced this. I've experienced this. What happens to the conversation? Oh, it seems to go downhill. And if ever you want to get rid of somebody because they're talking too much all the time, just mention the Lord. You won't have to ask them to leave. They're just all of a sudden quiet. Don't have much to say about that. You know, maybe all seems lost in your life. Well, Jesus has some comforting words for you today. He's got some great words for you today. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, for sure, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." So first of all, he says, "Assuredly, I tell you, there is none of you here." You don't have to be the one that left. Maybe they left you. And there's loss in your life. You know, but he's saying there's not one of you who left your house, or something happened, or your brothers or your sisters or your father or mother or your wife or children or your family. Maybe the family has separated from you. Anyone who has given up anything, any person, or relationship, or property, or suffered loss of job, or position, or missed out on a deal, or ended up alone. Anyone who stood for me, who lost those things but stood for me, he said, there's not one who has lost these things. You notice, for my sake and the gospel's. This happened to you simply because you're a Christian. Because you share the gospel, because you stand for Jesus in all situations, because you're living as a Christian. He says, I want you to know this, verse 30. There's not one who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. He's saying, know this, you guys, you will be richly blessed. You may suffer loss in this life of people or things. And sometimes it's not us that does it. It's the other side. But because you chose me, you're going to reap unspeakable riches. You notice, here and in your future. But there will be persecution. Your life will be blessed spiritually. I will take care of you. And we're told that in Matthew 6, we don't have to worry. He'll provide for us. He'll take care of us. And you notice, you will receive back 100-fold. That's 10,000% return. Would you invest in something that's 10,000% return? You're happy with 3% today. 10,000% return. That's pretty good. Wow. I've got a dollar I'll invest today. $10,000. You would be joyful, wouldn't you? The loneliness, the loss will all of a sudden like dissipate. Wow. Look what I've got. What a life I can lead. Your life will be blessed. You will receive back. That I would call that great gain. But you notice there was loss first. In this life, you will lose some things, some people. Friendships turn sour when you share that you've become a Christian. You will lose things. You will lose children. They will separate from you. They will want nothing to do with you. And we can't put them first, because then we'll compromise our faith. We can only serve one master. We stand for the Lord. We don't have to be embarrassed to stand for the Lord. We need to share where we stand on certain things and not compromise. Because he says, if this happens to you, because for my sake and the gospel's sake, they're going to separate from you anyway, so you might as well share the Lord. Because at least you're getting the truth out. You might not fit in. That's okay. At least share the Lord. That's what we're here for. And Jesus is your friend. What he's saying is you'll have a place to live. Your needs will be met. You'll have brothers and sisters and a family. And we call this family the church, the body of Christ, the church family. You're going to enjoy fellowship. It was great to see a lot of you out there yesterday at the memorial. You just say, how neat. Members of the body of Christ gathering together and having this fellowship. Wasn't it nice? You just have that love, that fellowship, just together, encouraging one another, there for others. And that's what we're supposed to do. He says, you'll have this and eternal life in heaven. Wow. That's wonderful. That's real life. If someone's living for this world, you're going to be miserable. Because everything you have today could disappear tomorrow. Jesus never fails. He's always there. And it's good to be strong in the Lord. So we see here, to lose is to gain. We stand for Jesus. We follow him. We're not embarrassed. We're vocal. Many times we experience loss because we don't compromise with people. We don't turn our backs and sin. And relationships break off. Many people don't like strong Christians. It's convicting. It challenges them. They don't like to be around you. But Jesus loves you. And he's always around you. And you have a great future. You know, back in chapter 10, verse 21, that rich young ruler that came to Jesus said, what do I do to inherit eternal life in heaven? One thing you lack, Jesus said, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. He decided to keep his riches rather than follow Jesus, but it says he went away sad. Why? Because he was going to miss out on eternal life. You think he'd be happy? He had no joy. He chose the world, the temporary things, over the Lord. He who follows Jesus will have joy in the midst of sorrow. Kind of doesn't mix, does it? But there's joy, unspeakable joy. We who follow Jesus have joy. You know, it is a privilege. This is the way we need to think of things when we're put down. It is a privilege to be persecuted for Jesus. Isn't that something that he would choose us to identify with him in his sorrow? The next time you're sorrowful, know that you're identifying with him. And it's a privilege because of the name of Christ you're being persecuted. That's wonderful. And you'll be with him in glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would like to turn there. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happens to you. Do you think it's strange what you're going through today, like you're the only one experiencing this? We all feel that way at times. Well, no one understands this because this is happening to me. This is real. I don't think anyone else has gone through this. Sometimes we think it's strange, don't we? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Isn't that wonderful? We can identify with him. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, for his sake, for righteousness' sake. You could be a miserable person making people angry. You're not blessed for doing that. You're blessed when you do it for Christ's sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, wow, for being persecuted. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you. So the next time someone's reviling on you or calls you names or something, you can say, thank you for blessing me today. We can say that in our mind, that I'm identifying with Christ, and pray for their salvation. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. There was this infighting. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Oh, he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You fool. You're living for this world. You're going to die tonight. If we were all told we're going to die tonight, would we live differently? Oh boy, I'm getting right with the Lord. Well, we're not promised tomorrow, any of us. We live day to day. Jesus said that. Don't take any thought for tomorrow. So we have to have our priorities right. In verse 31, he says, But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Peter, you might think you've forsaken all, you're last, but there are many who are first that will be last, and the last first. When you were a kid, did you ever say that, hey, first is the worst, last is the best? Especially when you're picked to play on something and you're the last one picked. Say, yeah, first is the worst and last is the best. You only say that when you're picked last, not when you're picked first. And that's what Jesus is saying. First is the worst, last is the best. Peter, you may feel like you're last. Don't seek to be first here. Seek to be first in the kingdom of God. One day you're going to be with me in heaven. There are no nobodies in the kingdom of God. Jesus picked us all, and we're going to be with him. We are all very rich, and our inheritance is waiting. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Isn't that great? We can't compare it. The sufferings to the glory. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, maybe you're saying, this is not a light affliction, Lord, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We want to live for the eternal. Jesus, now, here's a verse that is very striking to me. Verse 32. I wish I were a painter. This verse, as I was going through it this week, is really, really revealing of what's going on with Jesus. Now, when they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem. Now, we know what he's going to Jerusalem for, right? To die. So they're now on the road, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Jesus is now headed toward Jerusalem to fulfill what he came to do. He's walking ahead of them. This tells us literally that he's going before them, walking ahead of them. So apparently he's walking faster. Jesus is walking ahead of them. Maybe they're unsure now of, should I follow him there? Wow, because he's mentioned before what's going to happen there. He's going before them. Picture this scene. He has been sharing about losing one's life to gain riches. He's on his way to do this. He shared these difficult words with these disciples about loss and following him. And it seems the disciples are now lagging behind him. Not as eager now. They're lagging behind. You know how we can slow down when we're pursuing something? Well, I don't know. It doesn't look that good the closer I am. So they're lagging behind him. And he was hurrying on to his destiny. A lonely place. Alone. Out front. Knowing pain and loss are about to come. And death. What are his emotions now? He was in all ways like us, except without sin, the Bible says. He experienced this. At times, it seems we're alone as Christians in pursuing the Lord. And we are. But Jesus endured the cross, it tells us, for the joy that was set before him. Loneliness and joy wouldn't seem to go together. But they do in the life of a Christian. It was that way with Jesus. Jesus is their leader. It says they were amazed. As we are, as we think of what the Lord did for us. Here's the picture that I wish I could paint. Their leader, our leader, was hurrying to the cross with a determined look on his face. I would love to see a painting of that with, and I don't know if anyone could capture the face of Jesus, but our leader is going ahead, determined to fulfill, laying down his life for us. And they were amazed. In other words, they were gazing at him and amazed at what this man was doing, this leader, eager to do it. And he was determined, alone, and they were afraid, following him. Doesn't that capture the human life, that here's Jesus gone to the cross for us, and sometimes we lag behind, afraid. He goes, I can just picture his face, just determined, I'm going to save you people. Nothing's going to stop me. You're lagging behind, but I'm still going, alone if I have to do this for you. You know, what a leader that is. Nothing's going to stop him from achieving what he's going to do, win this great battle with Satan. And we see the disciples' reaction. They were afraid. I could just see their faces wondering. He's determined and sure, and they're probably looking puzzled. What a picture that would be. The human life and Jesus. But he did it. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows how they feel. So I think it's wonderful. At the end of this verse, he says, he took the 12 aside again, and began to tell them the things that would happen to him, because he told them before. He understands. So he stopped. He realizes what's happening to them. So he stops, and he takes them aside and teaches them. Isn't that great? He says, come on. This is what's going to happen. This is what I'm doing for you. He doesn't say, oh, come on, what's the matter, you guys lagging behind? He takes them aside and he tells them what's going to happen to comfort them. He says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the disciples, and they will condemn me to death and deliver me to the Gentiles. They're going to mock me, scourge me, spit on me, kill me, and the third day I will rise again. We're going, condemned to death. I'll be handed over to the Gentiles as a common criminal. I'll be mocked, flogged, spit on, killed. But for you. But know this, I'm going to rise again on the third day. I'm going to beat this. There's going to be gain in all this loss. Loss first, but then gain. It seems they never caught rise on the third day. You know how it is when you hear bad news? Someone can give you a bunch of bad news, and maybe a little good news on the end, you're not even listening by then. You're so caught up with the bad. We're all that way. You get so caught up with the bad, you don't even sleep at night. The good news, you don't even remember that. Because you think of the bad news, that's where they were. They didn't hear the rise again on the third day. We think that could never happen. That's impossible. Not with this situation. Remember this. The cost of following Jesus is way, 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 way worth it. You'll never have a leader like this in life. He's determined. He's walking ahead of his people, his disciples. He's going to go there. He's going to do it for you and me, for these men that denied him. He's determined to do it. They were amazed. There's something on the face of leaders when you know they're really determined and committed. When a person's really determined and committed, you can say, wow, nothing's going to stop them. They're sure they're going to do this. That was Jesus at this time. But they were afraid. As we get afraid, don't be afraid to sell out in every area of life. Even when it looks bad or trouble, don't give up. It's way, way worth it for standing for him. Live out the Christian faith. That's what he tells us. I'm going to rise again. There's victory. Don't be fearful. Let others look at us and be amazed. They're doing it. They don't give up. They truly believe this. They don't fall prey to the world. Isn't that wonderful? The world needs to see that. If Jesus avoided the shame, the persecution, the mocking, the loneliness, the cross, we would not be here today and we would not be going to heaven. If he didn't have that determination and that commitment to go, even if none follow, he was going to do it for us so that we today could be saved. We need to be determined in following him. Jesus is our hero, our leader, our master, our example. Anytime you get down, picture him in verse 32. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us. We pray today that our hearts would be toward you and we would never quit. You were determined to save us. You paid it all. And we're free today because of that. We're going to heaven. We have real life here, real love, real peace, real joy. The joy in trouble is knowing the end, that there's something good you have for us in it. Never let us feel lonely, because we're never alone. Let us sense your presence at all times, God. Help all of us today in those things we're going through. Take us through with victory. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.